Mark chapter number 5, verse number 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her youth, or fountain of her blood, was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you for this opportunity once again. Lord, I don't take this for granted. Lord, I need your help this morning. I pray you help my voice. And Lord, I pray that you help my lips to only say what I should say. And Lord, above all, I pray that you be honored. And I pray that if there's somebody here that can be helped by this, I pray that they would just allow themselves to be helped by it. And Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to give us to come to your house, help the services in other places this morning. Pray that you just be honored in those also. In Jesus' name, amen. In Mark chapter number 5, in verse number 25, we're introduced to a lady here in the Bible that I believe is uniquely different than most of the rest of the miracles that Jesus did in the Bible. We are not told her name. She has no name that we have recorded in the Bible. She is among the thousands of nameless people that Jesus healed, and we will only meet one day when we're in heaven, and we'll be able to hear firsthand how God had actually touched her and completely changed her life. Brother Chad, so what was so different about this woman? What is her story? First of all, we're going to look at the way she was hurt. Okay, because most people, when they came to Jesus, there was some kind of hurt. Okay, so we're going to look at her hurt this morning. This lady had some issues. Now, I'm not just talking about issues, because I've got issues, okay? Most of you know that I have issues, all right? But we're not talking about, you know, mental issues here or anything like that. But she did have issues, okay? She did have issues. She was hurting inside, okay? She had, the Bible says, she had an issue of blood. It was not an obvious issue. This was a private issue. This was a private problem. I believe one of the unique things about her that was different from many others was the fact that it was not really an obvious issue, okay? It was not an obvious outward indication of what was inwardly hurting. You know, when a blind man came to Jesus, you could obviously tell by the way he was moving, by the way his methods of movement, maybe even his eyes to look at him, this is a blind man. He's feeling for his way. The man with the hand that was withered, he would stretch out his hand. You know, if somebody saw his hand, you could see that it was all crippled up and gnarled. The lepers that came to Jesus, perhaps missing a nose or their ears, and you could tell by their face, the emaciation of their face, you could tell that these people were hurting. You know, sometimes you go out into different places and human beings have a unique curiosity factor, okay? You'll go someplace and you see somebody that honestly from birth or from an accident maybe is deformed or something like that. And especially young people. I've noticed that when you take teenagers places, it's really nice sometimes that we have buses with tinted windows, okay? Because you'll see people going down the street and everybody's, their faces are plastered. No, I'm kidding. They're not really plastered, but
you know, you go places and you know, it's hard. You see somebody and you're like, whoa, what happened to them? You know? And it's obvious sometimes that people are hurting. You know, you see somebody in a wheelchair and it's obvious that there's something wrong. Okay? And there is a lot of obvious things that, you know, that you can tell that somebody has either been hurt or is still hurting. But this lady was not one of them. From the outside, she perhaps looked very normal. I don't know what, we don't know what she looked like. Perhaps she looked very much like anybody that could be sitting in this room this morning. This morning, I'm not talking to those, and I am talking. I just speak. I don't talk to you, honestly. And I want you to understand that. I want the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. Because I'm just saying words, okay? But those that this is for those that are hurting inside, but you hide it behind a smile. Because we don't know anything about this lady. Because remember, it's an issue of blood. You don't necessarily see it. Blood is something that goes on inside. But there's a lot of people out there today that are hurting inside. And you may come to church and you may smile and everybody else thinks everything's okay. But maybe for 12 years you've been fighting something inside that nobody else knows about, that nobody else can see. I'm speaking to the young person who says that they tell me this. Hey, how are you doing? I'm okay. You know what that means? I'm not okay. Something's not right. But I can't tell anybody. Nobody understands. That's what that means. This woman may have been able to fool everyone, but she knew herself and she knew that she needed help. Many times people believe that they can hide all the hurt inside, but there's an emptiness that pervades every area of life. There's something inside, and for some people it's not that you've been hurt. There's just no sense of satisfaction. There's no fulfillment inside. You come to church and you do what you're supposed to do because you're supposed to do it, but it doesn't make it better. There are people like that. This lady may have been able to go to church. She may have been faithful in the in her area synagogue. She may have sung the songs of her church. She may have participated in all the activities of her church. But none of that detracted from the fact that she inside was still hurting. That she inside still had a need. Maybe she had a good family. Maybe she thought that everything and everyone thought that she was okay, but she was still hurting. We don't know her social status. She possibly could have been a leading member of society, but she was still hurting. I believe there are people here this morning that are hurting inside. You need help. You don't have the peace. And honestly, you don't know where to turn. Has it been a very real hurt from someone that you've never been able to let go? Has it been an emptiness inside that no one understands? So what did this woman do? Okay, what did this woman do? All right, we're going to look at that. So we have the hurt. It was an issue of blood. It was a private issue. It was an issue that nobody could see and that she may have been able to smile her way through. She had it for 12 years. There's people probably in this room that have had something for a lifetime that you've never been able to let go, that you've always had hurt from. So what did this woman do? Well, she did what everybody else does. She was hurt, so she went for help. She went for help. This is a logical thing to do. Look at Mark chapter 5. Look at verse number 26. Mark 5, verse 26. And had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. You know, we live in a society, a self-help society, all right? Self-help society. So when people are hurting inside, and many times people that are hurting inside don't want to share their hurt with those around them. You know, if I'm missing an arm, you know, it's obvious that I'm going to need help with some things. Although, honestly, you know, at some point in my life, I would want to get to the place I wouldn't need people's help, okay? But it's obvious, you know, you have more sympathy for somebody that you see that needs something. But there's people all around us that are crying out for help that you can't see. Perhaps so you can see it. If you talk to people, many times you can see it in their eyes. They're hurting. So she went for help. She went to the world to help her with a problem that was beyond human ability. And many times we go to the world for help that the world could never afford us. This woman had gone to every doctor and self-help thing out there. If there was internet, she would have Googled everything possible to find out something to help her. She would have. She was desperate. She would have went to every clinic she possibly could to find out how she could be helped. She had indulged in all of the help that the world has to offer. All the things that the world would say. And you know what? People today, they indulge in everything that the world says, this will help you. This relationship will help you. This music will help you. These drugs, it'll take all the pain away. This alcohol, it will help you. This sin, this vice, it will help you. And I believe from what I've read, she indulged in all of it that she could have to fix her problem. And a lot of people indulge in everything that they can to fix their problem. If you notice in verse 26, the Bible says, and had spent all that she had. A lot of people give the world everything that they are in order to find some sense of fulfillment, some sense of happiness. They give the world everything. They think that a relationship, young people, you think a relation, young ladies, you think a relationship's going to give you that fulfillment? You know what the world does? Exactly what these doctors did to her. Give me your money. And they leave with nothing. You give the world yourself, and they'll take it. They'll take everything that you are. They'll take your purity. They'll take your standards. They'll take your life. And they'll give you nothing in return. And what does the Bible say about it? She was none better, but rather grew worse. You know what the Bible also says here? She had suffered many things at the hands of, or had suffered many things of many physicians. You go to the world to help that problem that you're crying out about, and the only thing that the world's going to give you is suffering and pain, and they're going to take everything that you give them. They're going to take the heart that you give them, okay? The emotional connection that you give to people, they're going to take it from you. And what are you going to have to show for it? Nothing. Nothing. You're not going to get any better. You're going to get worse. The relationships of this world won't help. It will only cause suffering. Let me ask you, what have you given to the world? What have you given to the world in order to obtain relief from the emptiness, only to find that it has taken the most precious things from you and has given you suffering in return? It hurts me to watch people have so much. They've been given so much. But because of something inside that hurts, and they can't tell anybody, or they won't tell anybody, something inside that hurts, and they're looking for something, they're willing to go give the world everything in order to find that. And they end up more empty than they were before, plus they're broken, plus they've been on however many roller coaster relationship, and they have been given nothing. The alcohol has ravaged their bodies. The drugs have ravaged their bodies. They are left with nothing. The songs of the world, they go to the songs of the world to try to ease a hurting spirit. But if you listen to the songs of the world and you really think about them, it will only cause you to go further. It won't appease it. It won't appease it. It'll make it worse. If this woman lived today, she would have tried everything. She would have tried relationships. She would have tried alcohol. She would have tried drugs. She would have maybe even tried actually going to actual physicians to get a prescription for her problem. She tried essential oils. She had boards, she would have had boards on Pinterest set up to help her with her problem. Okay? She would have tried everything. All right? Perhaps she tried drugs, she tried a new set of friends, maybe a new job, a new kind of music. She had her support group. But let me say something about your support group. Your support group is nothing more than a group of people who revel in your calamity. They do nothing. When was the last time your support group, your social media groupies have helped you? This lady, if she lived in today's society, she would have been on all that. Because she was hurting inside. And I don't discount, listen, I'm here this morning and I'm not telling you to, just grow up and get over it. I'm not here telling you that. I'm here this morning saying that is a very real thing in your life. This was not something, everybody could look at this woman and say, you're full of it. You don't have any, you're fine. You're physically fine. But she knew that inside something wasn't right. And you know inside something's not right. I'm not discounting it at all. I think it's a very serious thing. It's a very real thing. But where are you going for your help? Every door that she tried to go through was closed. She had no happiness, no fulfillment. The world will take, let me say this again, the world will take all that you have and leave you broken and worse off than you were to start. She was at the end of her rope. No one else to turn to. No money, no happiness, no fulfillment, and she was still crying out inside. She was perhaps still sporting a smile, but in her eyes, there's an emptiness that cries out for help. She's at the end of a rope, and this is completely unspiritual, but I've been reading Teddy Roosevelt lately. You know what Teddy Roosevelt said? When you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot, and hang on. Now, it may not be super spiritual, but listen, I'm here to tell you this morning, there's still hope at the end of your rope. Brother Chad, how do you know this? How do you know people are hurting like this? How do you know that, there are people out there in today's society that are hurting? Well, some of it you can see. Some of you think that people that look like the world as far as their hair's a different color, they all look like they ran into a staple gun or whatever. You think that, that's just, what that is? That is a very real cry for help. They're searching to fit in someplace. They're searching for something and they can't find it. And they'll do anything, listen, they'll do anything. Despite if the normal human mind would look at it and think that is completely irrational, they'll do anything to fit in and to feel fulfilled inside. This lady would do it. Brother Chad, how do you know this? How do you know this? Excuse me, that people are hurting. Well, I see it. And if you'll open your eyes and take some time with people, you'll see it. You see the emptiness of a young man who tries to make the best of life, but life has gotten the best of him. You see the cry for help in the eyes and demeanor of a young lady. I see men who for their whole life have scraped by on nothing while searching for something. Something that will satisfy, something that will give purpose to life. I can see ladies, not just young ladies, but older ladies, who for years have smiled and come to church, but inwardly there is still hurt, there is still something from her past, there is still a cry for help. So why do you tell people to hang in there? I do tell people that. Hang in there. Because I think some people are grasping at the last. They're grasping for something. Maybe they're slipping closer to the end of their rope. Tie a knot, hang on. So she was hurt, she went for help, but she didn't find the help. So we're going to talk about the healing. This lady had gone to every source to ease the issue of blood, the problem that was on the inside and not necessarily visible on the outside.
In the very real sense, I think she was at the end of her rope. She had given everything she had to the world, and the world had taken it, like it's prone to do, and had given her nothing in return. Then she heard about Jesus. I love the way that she went to Jesus. You know, almost this. Here's another thing that distinguished her from everybody else. Most people that went to Jesus called out to Jesus. Did you notice that? Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, my son, he's sick. I need you to touch him. Jairus, the man that we started the story reading about, he said, my daughter is sick unto death. Would you come? Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. She didn't do that. Perhaps she had tried so many other things, she was hesitant about trusting somebody. She had trusted so many other people, and so many other people had let her down and had hurt her and had caused her much suffering at the hands of many physicians. She didn't want to build her hopes up that this man could help her and then be let down again. Perhaps it was that. Perhaps she felt because of her issue of blood, because I don't know what it was. And if you go back to Old Testament law, some issues of blood, she would have been considered unclean. And so maybe she was perhaps this thought, that I can't even, because I'm unclean and there's a throng around Jesus, I can't even go to Jesus face to face and ask him for help. Because I'm unclean, I'm not even allowed around the general population. Perhaps it was that. Perhaps she was just timid. Perhaps she was just afraid. Listen, don't settle for the lie of the devil that you have to live your life this way. You don't have to live with that hurt. You don't have to live with that pain. You don't have to live with that emptiness. You can live a victorious Christian life. I'm not here preaching a self-help. I'm not trying to teach you how to self-help yourself. But I'm going to teach you how you can get help. The Bible says, look at verse number 28. The Bible says, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. She said this within herself. You know what you have to get to the point? Listen to me. That you have to get to the point where you say, okay, I've tried everything. I've tried it all. Nothing's helped me, and it's only made me worse. Let me introduce you to somebody this morning. He wants to help you. He does. You have to make that decision yourself. You know, I don't know, how did she hear about Jesus? Maybe a friend that she had that knew about her private problem came and said, hey, I know you've tried everything, but have you tried Jesus? And you know what I'm trying to do this morning? Hey, you tried it all. Have you tried Jesus? So she decided to give Jesus a try. Maybe she didn't have the faith, or maybe she didn't have the charisma to call out on Jesus. But I will say this for her. She did have the faith to go near Jesus. She did have the faith to reach out her hand. She did have that much faith. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. There may have been no visible change to her when that moment when she touched Jesus. But it was interesting. But the Bible says, look at verse number 29. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. There may have been this may have been the lady that kept the smile. This may have been the lady that smiled through it all, that went to church, that had it all. But there was something missing inside. But that day that she touched the garment of Jesus, she knew inside, something's different. Something is different. I can't explain it. I can't see it. You know, that sounds a lot like salvation. When I got saved, Brother Chad, how do you know that you're saved? I can't explain it. I can't see it. But something inside me changed.
I knew it changed. But Chad, I've never had that before. I've never felt that before. Are you still hurting? Has your problem gone away? Or is it still there, a nagging thought, a nagging feeling? There may have been no visible change. There may have been no obvious thing that happened to her. But there was a miraculous happening inside of her. Then Jesus turned around. Jesus turned around when he felt within himself that someone had reached out to him with the intent that he would help them. I want you to think about this. What was different? Jesus knows it all. Jesus knows where you're at right now this morning. Jesus knows the thoughts that's going through your head right now as I'm talking. I don't. I'm just standing up here, a messenger. I'm the friend that said, hey, I know about this guy, and he can help you, but you got to go. You got to come. But I love this. Jesus turned around, not when he felt the throngs of people touching him. Because there may have very well been throngs of people. Because the disciples in a mocking way, they said to him, or he said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee. And you're going to ask, who touched me? You're going to, I don't know who touched you, Jesus. Look at all these people. We can't even go, you know, we can't even walk. But Jesus knew the feeling that it was when he had somebody come to him that needed help. There was something different. There was something different about that touch. There was something different that happened to Jesus' heart when he felt a young person or an older person that needed something that reached out to him and touched him. He felt the difference. And Jesus, despite the fact of where he was going, despite the fact of what he was going to save another young lady's life, but he stopped in time for one young lady. And you know what? Jesus will stop for you. He's not too busy. He'll stop. He turned around and he spoke to her. Now, I think as soon as Jesus turned around, I mean, can you, if you were standing there, I mean, I think the eyes of Jesus can see everything. And I believe that he went and he looked at every person that was close to him, right in the eyes. And there was a searching, there was an asking question in his eyes. Did you touch me? Do you need me this morning? Did you need me this morning? Do you need me this morning? And for most of the throng, they weren't there for help. They were there for the miracles. That's what they were there for. They were there to go see him raise Jairus' daughter to life. This is going to be epic. They didn't need Jesus, but somebody here needs Jesus. You're crying out for help. And Jesus looks at him and with searching eyes says, do you need me? Do you need me? And I think his eyes locked on her eyes. And instantly, just like I can see the pain in people's eyes, and Jesus can see the pain in people. Listen, if you'll look and you'll take time to look at people, you can see pain. You could see hurt. And Jesus took that time to look in her eyes, and he knew that she was asking for something. And he looked about, verse 32, and he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Jesus, I've never told anybody this. These are all my friends. They don't even know that I have this hurt. But Jesus, you just fixed it. I don't know how you did it, but you fixed it. And she told him that. And he said unto her, this is what Jesus wants to say to you. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Go in peace. That peace that she never had before, she was walking in it now. That plague that she had before, all that sin, all that burden, all that emptiness, She was free of that plague now. Why? Was it because of all the doctors she had went and seen? Was it because of all the relationships of life? Was it because of all the lights and the glamour of the world? No, it's because she had enough faith to reach out when she needed somebody in the worst possible way. She reached out and she touched Jesus' garment. Let me say this. Jesus will take time for you. When all the world comes to Jesus with all their troubles and worries, Jesus still takes time for the young lady or young man that's hurting inside. He still takes time for the man that reaches out in faith to fulfill that emptiness inside. He still takes time for the woman that reaches out in faith to fulfill that hole in her life. You know, I think in one way, Jesus was walking with a purpose, but he was also, he was so sensitive to people's needs. So sensitive. He was waiting for somebody to touch him. Not just touch him as a general touch, because there was throngs touching him. He was waiting for somebody that needed him. Is he waiting for you? Would you trust me just enough to go where Jesus is? You got to go where Jesus is. Let me say, this morning, this is a good place. This is a good place. The Bible says where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We have a throng here this morning. A throng, if you would. Not everybody, and I don't want to say this wrong, and I don't think you'll get this wrong, but not everybody in here this morning need Jesus the way that you need Jesus. Does that make sense? I don't want to sound like you don't need Jesus, but there's some people probably this morning that need Jesus in a special sort of way. You've tried everything, and you've lost everything. Let me introduce you to Jesus. For some of you, there's been inner struggle for as long or longer than this lady struggled. 12 years. How old were you 12 years ago? I don't know why I'm mentioning this. What happened 12 years ago? What happened farther than that? 12 years, that's a long time to be struggling with something. You've tried all the world has to offer, all the sin, all the songs, all the pleasures. The world's taken it all and left you worse off. Would you trust me enough to know that I am your friend? I'd love to take you where you can meet Jesus. I hope as a Christian that I take time to see people that are crying out for help. The disciples, the men closest to Jesus, didn't know that this lady needed help. As a Christian, are you looking for somebody that's crying out? Or do you just see throngs? Just another number for your bus. Just another person on the street. For some of you, this introduction to Jesus is a need of salvation. If you're here today and would be honest enough to say, Brother Chad, I have this emptiness inside and I know I'm hurting and I know that Jesus is not there and I want to accept him as my Savior. There will be some here today that say, Brother Chad, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that I am saved, but there's perhaps something from my past or perhaps something from things I've done that causes me grief and pain inside. No one else knows about it, but I want to get help. You know, Jesus will help you. He'll help you with that. I'm not a very good singer, but the songwriter wrote this, and I'm going to try to do my best. The world will try to satisfy that longing in your soul. You may search the wide world o'er, but you'll be just as before. You'll never find true satisfaction until you found the Lord, for only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. For only he can change your heart and make you whole. He'll give you peace you never knew, sweet love and joy and heaven too. For only Jesus can satisfy your soul.
If you could have the fame and fortune, all the wealth you could obtain, yet you have not Christ within, your living here would be in vain. There'll come a time when death shall call you. Riches cannot help you then. So come to Jesus, for only He can satisfy. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only He can take your heart and make you whole. He'll give you peace you never knew, sweet love and joy and heaven too. For only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Are you fed up with it? Are you fed up with all the junk that the world's going to give you? You can go to Jesus, and He'll be waiting there for you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, I pray that You would help us this morning. I pray that You would speak to our hearts. Lord, I think I said what I needed to say this morning. And Lord, I pray that You would just speak to people's hearts that need You. And like I said, not everybody this morning. We have a throng here for the most part. But there are, in the midst of throngs, there are people that cry out inwardly, people that are hurting. And God, they don't have to live their life that way. They can live their life in a victorious Christian life. And Lord, help them to find that peace. Lord, if there's a soul that's not saved here this morning, I pray, Lord, that when we have the invitation, that You would just give them the courage, as You gave that lady, give them the faith to take the step, give them the faith to go to where Jesus is. And Lord, I pray that You'd help them. Help those that perhaps are saved, and they know that they're saved, but God, just stuff inside has hurt them. I pray that they would still have enough faith to, it doesn't matter what the problem is. It doesn't matter that anybody else knows what the problem is. It's the fact that they know that they have an inside cry for help and that they go to where they can get help. Lord, I pray that You'd bless this invitation. I pray that You'd just be honored in everything. In Jesus' name, amen.